When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Late Night Drive. My name is Ellie Schnitt.
I'm Michaela Oakland.
And we're so happy to have you here joining us in our car for this lovely little late night. Well, it's pretty, yep. Actually, it's early today. It's sort of an early afternoon drive.
Mm-hmm. We're recording earlier than usual, like three years earlier than normal,
three hours. Would you believe it is the year 2020?
Would you believe?
Wait, a funny story about the year 2020. Which I gather doesn't sound like a funny lead-in because 2020 wasn't funny, but...
Boring year, famously.
Right, famously not the best year. But, okay, so I was at the Eras Tour movie last night, and this girl comes up to me, and she was like, "Hi, I'm so sorry, are you Ellie?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Okay, I'm so sorry if this is weird. I'm really high right now. I can't tell if this is super weird." And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I was like, she's like, maybe she is like, she follows me on something. She listens to the podcast.
Right.
I don't know. So I was like, oh my God, no, it's really not weird. Everyone around me was like, it's not weird. Like, you know, being super, like trying to be super chill about it. And then she was like, it's a little weird. I think we dated the same guy. And I was like, oh. I was like, did we? That's crazy. Because I'm looking at her and she's
not
like,
where you thought this was going.
Not at all. Partly because she's easily got 5-6 inches on me. So I'm like, going through the roster, I'm like, who? Who could have dated somebody that is that much taller than me?
But you're like, who's above 5'7"?
Literally, I was like, who have I ever dated that? Anyways, so I was like, oh, that's crazy. And she's like, well, yeah, it's just I wanted to come up to you because when we dated, he talked about you all the time. And like, you were like a character in our relationship. Like, we would go places and be in groups and I would be there as his date. And he would be talking about the fact that he dated you. And I was like, actually mortified, because I was like, who of the anyone I've dated who would do that? But also like, who, you know? So I'm like, oh my God, who? Like, who was it? And she says a name.
Is this even someone you dated?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. So she says a name and I was like, who? And she says the last name. And I was like, first name, last name. Oh, okay. It's a guy that was friends with my old roommate that I went on one date with in 2020. In 2020. We didn't even like talk. We didn't like, we like made out. Like, there was nothing.
He's name dropping you. He's oh my God. He thinks that like this is going to make him so much cooler and so desirable.
But I literally felt so, I was like, I feel so bad for this girl because I genuinely know what it's like to like have another girl be part of your relationship and feel like you're always comparing yourself to that person because of the way the guy is talking about her. And to come to find out, like, I don't even hardly know this person. Like, I don't know this guy. Like,
did you tell her that?
Yes. I was like, we literally hung out twice.
Oh, God bless.
Like, if even, like, we went on one date, we maybe kissed. Like, I don't know. Like, that's literally crazy. And she was like,
that's
oh my God.
I mean, I've heard of that before, like Chrissy's awful ex used photos of them together on his Tinder as like a way, I don't even know, like maybe partially because it's like, ooh, this is like a feminist girl and like I dated her and it like makes me look good, or just like because they have internet clout, they think it's gonna make that, like their association is gonna make them seem more desirable. I don't know. It's that's so weird.
So weird. And it would be weird, like no matter what. Like, and I feel like it happens all the time to people. Like, I feel like it happens no matter, it doesn't matter if you have like a following or not. It just happens. It's just weird that like somebody in the world like had this, like, you know, had this history with me in their, like, in their life, and she, like, she went through this all this time feeling this type of way and like not knowing that it just like wasn't true.
It makes me wonder though, like, did he make this a bigger thing in his head because he genuinely thought there was more there, or was he making it up on purpose?
No, but he he was the reason it didn't go anywhere. Like, I was interested, but then it was like during COVID and I found out he was like hooking up with like multiple people every weekend, and I was like, unsafe and gross. Ew. So I was like, yeah, I'm obviously not talking to this person ever again. And I didn't, but like, it's not because I was like, you know, it's not like he thought that there was something there and I didn't. It's like, you know, you were given a fair shot.
It just never was that much of a thing.
It just was never really a thing. It never took off because you're a whore, and that's a valid thing to be. It's just like, okay.
And I've always said that.
And I've always said that. It's just like, I don't understand. And then it's like, oh, this poor girl. But yeah, she was like, wow, I feel so much better. And it makes me really happy because he sucked and he was like a terrible guy to date. And now I feel better.
We need to interview this man. We need to be like, what do you think happened? Were you lying to this girl, or are you delusional?
Right. Like, what happened there to you? To you, what happened?
Because it's 50-50 to me. You know what I mean? Like, either delusional or he's thinks it's cool and is, like, blowing it out of proportion on purpose or something. I don't know.
The way she was mystified that it was literally one date, like, I was like, that's
well, then
crazy.
He had to be lying because he doesn't even have that many memories to pull from to be constantly talking about you in this
what
relationship.
What could she be talking about with me? Like, we literally, I truly went and got drinks one time.
Oh my God. There's crazy people out there.
There is.
That's like, that's a real fear, is that there are people out there, even if I actually have dated them. Talking about the fact that we
talking
dated.
Talking about the fact that we dated.
That's happened to me with people I did actually date, where I've gotten like messages from people just being like, oh yeah, like he was weird about you and like brought up blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, well, like I wish that he wouldn't let anybody know we were ever together, even though we were.
I just don't, yeah, I don't know. It's weird that that will happen. I don't also want anybody that I dated to talk about me at all. Also, I was
they should
just
disappear.
Like, who? I really truly was like terrified for the name that was going to come out of her mouth. So for it to be like just some random guy,
thing
I hardly
you expected.
Even. And like, I follow him on Instagram because he was a friend of my roommate's. Like, you know, like in a social setting.
You
like,
gotta unfollow him.
Sort of like actually immediately.
You can't like, he can't keep using this as like a look, she follows me. Like, he can't. Speaking of the people's heights, I sent you a message last night.
Did you?
And I asked you if you knew a man's height. And I sent the message and then you just said, no, I don't. And then I was like sitting there waiting. I was like, she's going to ask why
no,
I asked.
You said, you didn't even say his height. You literally said, did you ever meet this man when he was dating our friend?
Oh.
And I said,
Yeah.
I don't think so. And then I fell asleep. I don't know. I wasn't trying to be a bad friend. I just
No, I know. But it's so
sleepy.
You know you weren't. No, you, we weren't, because like I could have just told you why I was asking, but in my head I was like, she's gonna be so curious. She's gonna want to know why I'm asking. And you were just like, you just never said anything. You just answered the question and you stopped replying. And I was like, God damn, she's winning the don't give a fuck war.
And that's what people have been saying about me for a long time, that I'm the winner of the IDGAF war. Like, that's,
to be clear, I wasn't asking for anything related to myself.
No, I didn't think so, to be fair. I didn't even know they dated.
I don't know if they, like, dated. Another one of our mutual friends. So one of my friends, who's, like, 5'10", might be going on a date with him, but she doesn't know the other friend of ours who dated him. Like, they don't know each other. They're in separate universes. But she's 5'10", and we couldn't tell if he was short. And she actually met him, or like knows of him, through our other mutual friend who does know the friend who dated him. You know, this is very complicated. But I know that you know those friends. And I was like, maybe Ellie met this person and knows his height.
No, I don't. But our friend is tall, and she doesn't date guys who are short. Yeah.
That's big.
You have to remember this. She is quite tall. Oh my God, representation for the tall queens on this episode.
Hey, 5'10 girls.
Hey, 5'10 girls. Speaking of tall girls, so many cute pictures. I was also going to say lots of cute pictures of Taylor and Travis this weekend, holding hands and such. Him holding her arm like a football. That is so
funny to me. Loved his jacket.
Loved. Honestly, loved his overall vibe. I was like looking at his fit and then her fit, and I was like, I would wear her fit. So I just need to find a man who dresses like that.
He dresses really well.
He does. He's cool. He's got cool style. But yeah, the movie is amazing. And if you didn't have the opportunity to see the tour and you're really sad about it, go to the fucking movie. It's literally, I mean, minus all the screaming, like, it's so good. It's like being there. I cried several times.
Well, I'm just happy that there was such a good opportunity for all the Swifties out there to really get their fix and for affordable rates. I'm happy for you. That sounds really fun. It sounds fun to be a Swiftie.
And it is fun to be a Swiftie. I do love being a Swiftie. I love being part of the community. And it was cool to be there with just so many people. And everybody in that room was like, I love Taylor Swift. And everybody knew all the words to the songs. And it just like felt nice.
So a lot of stuff has happened, by the way. It's been like 2 weeks. And it feels like it's been a lifetime. So some of the stuff that I want to bring back up is forever ago, but I had a fight with Chrissy.
Okay.
And, well, it wasn't like a fight. Basically what happened is she put some of my nonstick and like wooden stuff in the dishwasher. And so I just, I texted her and I was like, hey queen, like just so you know, the nonstick stuff and wooden stuff isn't supposed to go in the dishwasher, just so you know for next time. And she replies like, oh, okay, gotcha. And then I go, because it can injure them and it can cause issues for them. And she was like, yeah, I hear you. and then I just reply, okay. Because here's the thing. I expected her to just be like, oops, sorry, my bad. You know, I was like expecting a little sorry. Like,
right.
So I go, okay. And then she's like, is everything okay? And then I went, yeah, I was just letting you know because it damages them. And then she goes, girly, do you want to talk about it? and then I don't reply because I just like, I'm like, well, I'm being dramatic. I just need to wait 5 minutes and then I won't be annoyed anymore. And then she's like, can we please talk about it? And then I had to go talk to her. And we had to talk about it for an hour.
An hour about the pot?
Well, we weren't like fighting. It was like an hour of us being like, I'm so sorry. That was so petty of me. I don't know why I was being like passive aggressive or whatever. It was stupid. But the reason it made me think of, because my okay was passive aggressive, but it was making me think of fights that I had with an ex where like they wouldn't have admitted that the okay was passive aggressive. Mm. And it would have become a situation of like, why are you so upset over me saying okay? Like, I can't say okay. This is all because you said okay. Right. And and then Christy and I were talking about it. I was talking to Brandy. And she was like, no, honestly, like, having friendships is how you learn to lovingly communicate and, like, have conflict and resolve it and get better at that kind of thing. Because, I don't know, it's just, it's so funny how different it is to have someone be like, yeah, my message was really passive aggressive. I was just being petty, you know, and it's nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is such a different kind of disagreement than the ones I've had with people I've dated.
It is funny. It is funny how your point about like, okay, would have been like a huge fight and them like willfully misunderstanding
exactly
what you were saying. Like, you know that the problem wasn't the word okay. The problem was that there was an attitude.
It was sent with evil energy. And I own that. I own that. I wanted an oops, my bad. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
But she... like, I don't, she didn't mean to not apologize. Like, it wasn't that big of a thing. She was like, oh, yeah, I gotcha. And
she didn't expect that you would want an apology for that.
Right. She wasn't reading my mind. She wasn't, because I.
And as, and people are not able to do that.
And yeah. I worded it in a way of like, it's no big deal at all. Just so you know for next time.
And she said, I will know that for next time. And you said, why didn't you say sorry? Literally. You know, it's funny. I was, I've like sort of been seeing somebody and we were talking yesterday because I realized I was like over explaining stuff like to like a crazy degree where I was like, I would be like, he'd be like, oh, I have to get up and like go to the bathroom. I'd be like, no. And then I'd be like, but you know, you actually can get up if you want to. Like, I'm not like actually like holding you here. Like, you can do whatever you want. And I realized, and I told him this morning, I literally was like, it's because I dated someone who it was like dating a genie where like he would take the things I said really literally and then tell me I was like being manipulative and like holding him hostage in the bed. So I'm like, oh, I'm being crazy. Like, there's no reason for me to communicate like this. I'm communicating in a weird way because I dated someone who communicated in a weird way. And it's nice to learn how to communicate in a healthy way.
How long after you say no did you wait before over explaining yourself?
It was like right away. Like, and it wasn't just that. I mean, it's been everything. It's like he'll be like, yeah. Oh, I should probably go home and get sleep instead of staying here. And I'll be like, no, you should stay forever. And then he'd be like, and then I'll be like, but you know, I would prefer for you to get good sleep. And like, you should leave, you know, if that's what you really need to do. I would never hold that against you.
And I'm not codependent, by the way.
And you have agency. And he's like, okay, crazy. Like,
you're so real for that. Like,
thank you.
It's so funny how much it presents itself from like a past argument or a past whatever. Mm. Just like, because even though you know that that person was being a jackass and like you joke about the fact that he was being a jackass in those instances, it still sticks with you. Like, there's still this lingering, like, almost manipulation where you've convinced yourself that that's true, even though. You know it's not, you know?
Because I remember having situations where I thought, okay, if I'm going to word this in a certain way because if I don't, I know he's going to take it like this and then it'll be a fight or a whole thing, you know? And instead of just being able to say, for example, this is like the best example I have is I remember that I had wanted to tell him that sometimes on Saturday mornings he should stay and we should get lunch instead of leaving right away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know that I have to word this in such a way that he's not going to be like, well, you said that that's what you wanted, so I have to stay. You'll be mad at me if I leave.
God,
like,
yeah.
And it's just like, it sticks with you because you're like, you just don't want to have that irritation and like that fight and like that like feeling misunderstood, like you're trying to communicate with someone and they're not understanding is so frustrating.
I was having some similar thoughts the other day where I was like, I wasn't even about someone I'm currently seeing, but I was like, I should avoid in the early stages of dating someone saying I miss you, because I remember that that makes people feel burdened.
I can't say I miss you. Can't say it. And she's going to be like, that's actually really manipulative for you to say that.
Like, that makes me feel really bad and there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I'm on tour right now. I can't see you. Like, you want me to feel worse about it? Like, no, I was just saying I miss you.
Okay. I'm just saying I miss you. I'm not allowed to miss you. That's crazy. That's one of the craziest things in retrospect, that we were not allowed to say I miss you in those relationships.
It was so much. I think a lot of it was like, why do you feel so guilted by me just existing? Like, how just do existing. I pull out so much guilt within you? Like, you know what I mean? I don't get
why. And if you feel like guilty, you should examine why that is, because it's not me. I'm not doing that. You probably feel guilty because you're a bad boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. But no, that's so funny.
can't say I miss you. It's manipulative.
Can't say I miss you. You can't say, like, would love to spend more time with you. Would love to get lunch.
Cannot say would love to spend more time with you, because it's like, oh, that means I'm not spending enough time with you now and you're mad at me. And
right, like, you're reading between lines that weren't there. Like, you don't have
there were
like,
no I'm, lines
there weren't any lines
there you, were no lines.
But yeah, no, my ex would always be like, well, I know you and I know that this is actually coming from a place of something else, like something deeper.
Well, what's really going on?
And then I confuse myself. I'd be like, is this because of, is like,
what? And it's like, oh yeah, you're like convincing yourself that maybe there is something wrong. Well, like, this weekend we were at this restaurant and I have a hard time eating in front of people and it's a whole thing and you know that. Mm-hmm. I also am somebody who gets nauseous. I get nauseous and then my brain says you're going to throw up and I have to move, otherwise I will throw up. And like, it comes on really quickly and suddenly. And it's really embarrassing and I hate it, but whatever. So I'm with this guy, we're talking, and he had brought up something about his ex. Or he was like, oh, I should have told you this,
and
but
blah, 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 told me something.
Imagine, but literally he told me something about his ex, but he had been talking about this, and before he started talking about that, I had already been nauseous. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't say anything because he's going to think that I, like, you know, and I was like, literally, and that made it worse because I'm already anxious and like, so it's like all compounding on itself. And then I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. I just got so anxious. Can we just like go and walk? And then he's like, are you sure you're okay? And I was like, I'm okay. He's like, is it because of what we were talking about? And I was like, on my life, it is not. Like, I want you to be able to talk about things and like not feel bad about it at all. I just got really anxious being where we were and feeling trapped for a second. And he just took me at my word. And wasn't like, beautiful. Actually, I know you and you're being crazy.
Although I do need me a bitch who throws up when I mention my ex. That's so funny. That's I wish that happened. Like,
no.
I think you guys could get past it. Like, if it did, because it would be really funny.
I honestly and genuinely think he would not care if that is what happened, but it was just really embarrassing for me overall because I was like, no.
Okay, but what people need to understand, well, is it, no, you, is it a terminal illness that you have? What do we call it?
No.
No. What is it?
Oh my God. Chronic,
right. You have a
terminal means I'm dying.
Okay. And you would if you couldn't get surgery.
But in many ways, we're all dying of a terminal illness called life.
Whoa. Yeah. So you do have a chronic illness as well as anxiety. So I feel like you have so many reasons to be nauseous and feeling bad, like sick wise.
Yeah.
In many ways. Yeah. Like, normalize throwing up on a date.
And I've done it many times, unfortunately. But no, I didn't end up throwing up because we went outside and then I felt better. It was just really hot in there.
Yeah. We both have been traveling. We both have been seeing our families. You went to Chicago and
I did.
I overlappingly went to Colorado. Is that a word? Kind of overlappingly. Went to Colorado, which is why there wasn't
a word, yeah.
Wasn't an episode last week. We've been busy girls. How was Chicago? You went to a marathon.
I did. My papa, my father, he ran the Chicago Marathon for the second time, which was very impressive. I'm sorry, I just got so hot. I'm just like sort of taking my sweater and wearing it as a cape.
Do you need to do? Yeah.
Thanks, Queen. Because then we started talking about throwing up and then I got, nauseous.
You know, throwing up in front of me wouldn't change our relationship whatsoever.
I know that.
It would end the episode for today. But
for today, yeah. But, you know, we be
that's
okay.
The extent.
Yeah, he ran it and it was very impressive. He finished in 5 hours and 40 minutes, which, like, why a person would ever want to run for 5 hours and 40 minutes, could not tell you. But that's a pretty decent time. It's like a pretty, like, median time for running a marathon.
Can I be honest? I think I kind of get it. Because here's the thing. Because running a little bit makes you feel good, right? And so then I imagine that running more also makes you feel good. And then the accomplishment plus the exercise in running makes you feel good. I think it's because it makes people feel good.
I think it does. But the problem with me is running has never made me feel good. Never, ever, not once in my whole life. It's the worst thing in the world. I don't think it should be legal. But it was
denormalized
running, honestly. Stigmatized running, if we can.
Yeah, more people don't need to.
We don't need more marathon runners. It was, though, like, kind of amazing. Like, I don't know, there's something I was like getting like really emotional and like tearing up watching people run, because it's like, damn, like the indomitability of the human spirit or whatever. And like, people were just, I don't know, everyone's families came out and was like cheering for them. And like, then they would get so excited when they saw like their friends and family. And then there would be people running that they had their names on their shirts. And so even if you didn't know them, you could say their name and be like, go Brianna. And like, it just was really nice.
That's nice.
It was nice.
Like fun. Mine was like a large family reunion, which we have never done.
Yeah.
Never, ever. I don't really, like, I have one grandparent left and I hardly ever see her, maybe once every 6 years or something like that. I mean, obviously for my brother's wedding, but it was her 80th birthday. So we decided to kind of make that the theme. And we did it near my brother's house where my niece is. And she was just born. She's so freaking cute. But I had a really fun time. But there's also there's this element whenever I see extended family members that I don't really know very well. They'll like ask weird personal questions where I'm like, I know we're technically family. But like this has happened twice now. Where someone I've maybe spoken to twice in my whole life, but is technically related to me. He came up to me and he was like, technically related to me. He was like, so did they ever find your friend's killer? And I'm
sitting there
making eggs. I'm like, what? Like,
and this was the topic he chose in the, like, just no intro?
I was like, I can't have like, first of all, a normal response to this, a casual reaction, like, this is going to take me to a dark place. I don't know, like, if you think this is going to be, like, a bonding moment for, like, I don't understand what the point of bringing this up to me is. Like, I don't like it. And it was random. It wasn't like we were having a long talk and, like, we had been, you know, getting closer and closer and it had gotten more intimate and the vibe was, like, you know?
No, I know exactly what you mean. Like, more, like, you actually know each other.
More personal, yeah.
It's a little bit, it's not funny, but there is something to be said for him going, okay, this is my niece, Michaela. What do I know about her? Okay, let me lead with this one. Like, that's unhinged.
That happened at my brother's wedding too. Like, a distant relative who I'd met maybe once or twice came up to me, and I don't remember what exactly the question was, but they were just like, sorry your friend died. It's just like,
thank you.
Like, what are you, first of all, the normal response to like a sorry something is it's okay, but it's not okay. It's like,
not okay.
So I'm yeah. like, so what do you reply? Like, okay, like I hear you. I don't know. Thank like, you, I guess.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank
That's
you
nice
for being
of you to
sorry.
Say.
It's so
that
random.
That was a nice thing to say. Thanks for saying
But it was
that.
Really fun. And we watched football and had a lot of good food and played games. Did some Mafia, which I always love to do Mafia with the group. And my niece is so cute, you guys. Like, I actually, for the first time, am seeing a baby and, like, wanting one. It's so weird and fucked up.
Yeah, that is weird and fucked up. I don't think either of us should be having babies.
Maybe I will, though. Maybe I will in a year.
If you have a baby in 1 year, I will eat a jalapeno pepper raw.
The last challenge was go on one date in 6 months, and I failed it. But this one is have a baby in a year.
This one, I'm feeling good about this one. You got 3 months.
I have no, wait, okay, to get pregnant. At least pregnant in a year. Give me a year to get pregnant.
Okay, well, but you have to be you have to be showing, okay?
Or
so
can
you have to be at least 3 months.
Can we do pregnant or married or engaged?
No.
Damn
it. It has to be a baby. Okay. I want a friend group baby. I'm ready to be, you know, somebody who is near a baby sometimes.
Well, because I'm thinking about it and it's like, now if I have a kid, I'm going to be so much older than the kid. Like, I'm never going to be like the cool mom. I'm going to be the old mom.
You're not going to be the old. We're 27.
I know, but like, I'll be probably 30 when I have a kid, and that's normal. I feel like people shouldn't really think about children till their 30s anyway. And I'm going to be like almost 50 when they're in high school.
Yeah, that's true.
My grandma was 36 when my dad was 16. So she was like hot.
Yeah, that's, yeah, but you know, I don't think that was probably the right thing.
Well,
she was a little baby when she had a baby.
No, absolutely. I'm not saying I'm jealous of that. I could have been me.
Right. And you know what? Could have been you. Could have
actually.
Can't go back in time.
I could have done 1 year earlier. So think about that, grandma.
Oh, like my grandma. My grandma, 19, is nine. She was 19 years older than my mom. So
yeah, that's crazy. And then they had to drop out of college. Yeah. I started a baking club.
Okay, huge.
With a Brandy. And the first thing was biscuits. And next will be bread. And I think that if I practice for a year, I can go on the Great British Bake Off.
Okay. So within that year, you have to emigrate to the United Kingdom.
And get pregnant.
So now you are going to be pregnant and British and a baker. Wow, whole new life in a year.
Yeah, so I just need to find a British person to marry.
Okay, I think that's easy.
And then I can do all of those things.
I think they're pretty thirsty.
They are.
Are there any British men listening? Oh, my friend Michaela is, for she's available.
If you just look at any British man, you think, wow, they need a glass of water. You know what I mean?
They look thirsty, yeah.
And I think we all know that. And I think we always have. Oh my God, one more thing I learned at my family reunion is that a lot of people ate or absorbed their twin in the womb. And then it's fairly common. And then they can grow a tumor that has teeth and fingers later on. Because
is this common in your family or is it common like around the world?
Well,
I knew about the tumor, but is it... your family has eaten a lot of twins? Because twins run in families.
I'm not going to say a lot. But so I do have twin. I do have twin cousins. And I won't say which family members. It's not me. But a couple family members this was early on though. And then like the other one either became not viable or it was absorbed. And, like, who knows?
I'm sorry, really creepy that your body can do that.
Yeah.
That you could be like, two babies, never mind, just one, it ate the other one.
Because they want nutrients, you know what I mean? They see all those
I get that.
Nutrients. And
juicy, juicy nutrients. But like, does that's like chill, you know? Like calm down a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sorry for taking it to a place of this. If you or a loved one has
absorbed
eaten
a twin.
Let us know because you are not alone.
Yeah. Mm. Creepy. Twins are a little weird. Like if you know a twin personally, they're not weird. I just mean like the concept is weird. That like we can just create.
Yeah.
Copy paste, you know, like that's weird to me.
Right. Like the genes or the whatever, the sperm or the egg splits and then.
But, you know, one of the two.
Oh, fuck. What was I going to say? Oh, I know that dreams are so boring. I know that hearing people talk about their dreams is so boring. But I had this insane. I'm really in a phase of having drawn out, dramatic, like storytelling like dreams. Mm. And I had this one where someone said that I had had sex with them. Mm. And when we had sex, I had bacterial vaginosis. And because of that, they were dying. Like they contracted something from my bacterial
sort of a
vaginosis.
Deadly BV situation, yeah.
Which is killing them. And like I found out that there was this whole group of people who hated me and blamed me because I had killed their friend because I hadn't like disclose. And I then for some reason I was looking at the paperwork of the health clinic and I was like, I didn't have it that year. I had it 2 years earlier. It couldn't have been me. And I was like trying to redeem myself. And I would like to know, what do you think this means?
I think you are carrying guilt. Okay. Maybe you absorbed a twin in the womb.
Stop.
You killed that other baby and now you're guilty about it.
I think it's some kind of fear-based dream. I think it's like a fear of something or like of people blaming me for something.
The mob of people who think you did something wrong and you didn't.
Ooh, yeah.
I honestly think that that's just a side effect of being on social media, like
yeah, but I think no one's been mad at me recently. But they have before, so maybe it was just like in there. You know what I mean?
I think it stays with you. Yeah. Yeah. I do look up my dreams like a lot. I'm like really into looking up my dreams.
I actually really like to write down my dreams.
We
and
were
then,
doing
like,
that
think
for
about
a while.
It. Yeah, we were doing that for a while.
We were
I
sending
think it's
each
a really
other
good
our
practice.
Dreams.
Because I think like anything else, like astrology or tarot readings or whatever, to like take time thinking about a dream and like what your interpretations might be and like what it could mean, even if you don't end up actually getting it right, I think it can give you a lot of insight and like make you think of what your fears might be because like it's going to get you to uncover something.
Well, it's like a Rorschach test, you know?
The ink blot?
It's like you see in it what you need to see in it. Like tarot and all of that is the same way. You see in it what you think you see. And your dreams too. You can interpret it however you want to interpret it.
And like, that's the best way to listen to yourself, right? Like if you're going to listen to anybody, try to figure out what your inner self is saying maybe a little bit. Could be onto something.
Honestly, we just came up with something really big. I think we should all tell each other our dreams. Start a dream journal and tell us the best one.
Yeah, you need to do it with a friend because usually people do not care about hearing your dreams. But if you word it in this way and you're like, we're going to try to interpret each other's dreams, then it becomes a bit more interesting. And like,
gotta say, I do care about people's dreams. I really, really care about people's dreams. Like, I want to know.
Well,
I love
beautiful.
Hearing about what you're dreaming about. I'm like, ooh, but you know what? I'm also into tarot and stuff, so maybe that could be why.
I love dream interpretation, but I think a lot of the time people will wake up and like tweet about a very benign dream that they had because they're still in it and think that it was like more interesting than it was. And it's like, I had a dream that I went to school. Well, that you can also interpret like forgot my homework. It's like, whoa.
Oh, my God. I always have a dream that I'm. Oh, yeah. Do you have recurring dreams? Because I always dream that I'm in college or high school. It's usually high school. And for some reason I don't know my schedule, and then I find out there's a class that I haven't been going to all semester.
Yes.
And so I'm failing it, and like I can't figure out what how to get there, and like, oh, that is the worst dream.
Yeah, I think for me that one is because I always put stuff off and I'm suffering the consequences of it getting worse because I put stuff off. Or like there's some kind of tag, because I have started recently putting everything I need to do in a notes app, and I, since doing that, have realized that I forget to do stuff a lot because I'll look at it and be like, oh my god, I can't believe that that was something I was supposed to do. If I don't, so I think in my head it's like, yeah, but I get the teeth one a lot, the falling out teeth one.
How do your teeth fall out? Because I always have the teeth one, but it's, they crumble out of my mouth, you know, like they don't, they like break off and fall out.
Yeah, mine like, mine kind of either like break off or just get loose and fall out. I don't know if I've had the crumbling. That's interesting.
Ugh, like I'll bite and I can feel them like coming out. Oh, it's a horrible feeling. And I think those dreams suck because your body remembers the feeling of a tooth coming out, you know, like, you know what it was like to have a loose tooth. You remember what it was, what it felt like to have them falling out. And like, so it's like, you know what, I'm gonna make this really fucking realistic for you. Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
That's so interesting how, like, because I, when I woke up, I couldn't even remember what BV stands for and had to look it up. But my subconscious remembered when it gave me that dream. It was like, you know what this is.
She said, you know about bacterial vaginosis. You've been there, girl.
Let's unlock this. Let's unlock this. Let's unlock
who among
this
us,
deep thing.
You know, hasn't had bacterial vaginosis
and almost killed someone
in your dream. I don't think it can kill people IRL.
No, it definitely can't, which is why I think for some reason I was treating it as like a really bad STD in my head, I guess. Like that was how it was being interpreted, because I haven't had an STD, but I have had bacterial vaginosis. So maybe my brain was just like attributing worse qualities onto that, like more dangerous qualities onto that, and being like...
Anyways, girlies... if you if you're suffering with bacterial vaginosis, see a doctor and get some antibiotic cream up there, and take your probiotics.
This was like my first year of college, and I refused to stop drinking, and it was so bad because you have to stop drinking when you take
you
antibiotics.
Have to.
So I was just like dying. Isn't that so sad? I was an alcoholic for a year.
Yeah, felt. That's why I got mono, because I had strep and I didn't let it heal all the way because I was taking my antibiotics with alcohol.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, like a fucking freak. What is wrong with these children?
See, and like we were so stupid. Can
we
you believe
so
we were
stupid.
Ever that stupid?
Yes, but I think about that sometimes and then I'm like, oh, and then like my grandma had a baby at that age.
Exactly. And like, what if I had? I would not be a good parent. I wouldn't, like, I would have been okay.
Oh my God. I'm sure you would have figured it out, but oh my God, how stupid I was.
And I also just, even if it's not like, ooh, I was so stupid, it's more just, I'm so much more developed now and I have so much more figured out that it would just be so much better.
It would just be so much better. We're just, oh my God, should we be parents? Let's have a baby. Anyways.
Do you guys want a car seat in the back of our late night drive?
Oh my God, cute. Oh my God. A little car seat. Little baby hand being like, hello.
Wait, so I have a little exercise prepared.
Okay. So you want to do a seatbelt check?
Real quick.
Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. So I love therapy. I have always been a huge advocate for therapy. I've been seeing my therapist for, gosh, going on 6 years now. So she's basically like a homie, less of a therapist, more of a pal. Just kidding. She actually is really, really good at her job. And I have benefited immensely from therapy. I literally feel like I wouldn't be the woman that I am today if I didn't have therapy as a resource. I think it's so good to help you work through not only like your daily problems and, you know, your work issues or your friend issues, your relationship issues, but also like work through things that have been patterns in your life that maybe you've identified but don't really know how to fix, or things like phobias, anxieties, things that you feel like you have a lack of control over. Therapy can be really helpful in making you feel like you do actually have control, because you have more control than you think that you do. But I know that it is not easy for everybody to access therapy. And that's why I love today's sponsor, BetterHelp, because I mean, there are states in America even where there's like two therapists that take insurance, you know, like it's really, really important to have access to mental health, and not everybody does. And BetterHelp makes it super, super easy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give it a try. It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So get it off your chest, whatever it is, with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/LND.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so we're going to do a little detour, a little seatbelt check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I came across this prompt and it really rocked my world. And I wanted to pose it to you, Ellie, and to you, the listeners.
Okay.
This really fucked me up. Okay, imagine yourself unafraid. You have no doubts, no worries, no fears of the unknown. The things you used to worry about do not exist. What would you do if you had no fear? This really fucked me up, because there's so many things that like I wish I was doing, but I'm scared to put myself out there and try to do. And I feel like when you hear this, maybe your mind goes career, maybe it goes love, maybe it goes a whole number of ways. But I think why it fucked me up was because I didn't realize I had so much fear, and that there were things I wasn't doing because of that. But then I was like, well, if I was completely fearless, would I be doing things differently? And I would. Like, I would be putting out different stuff and not scared if it would flop, or like if people wouldn't like it. I don't know. It was interesting to me. And if anybody else feels any kind of like things, I think it's worth interrogating and trying to like write out those things and do them as if you were fearless, and like get rid of that part of it.
Yeah. I think that fear makes you stop doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think that like part of growing up is like you gain those fears, and then like you lose that like carefreeness, you know, because you know the bad things that can happen. And so it's hard to let yourself do that.
Like what we were talking about earlier in relationships. You've got these learned responses, and you've had things fail before, and that hurt and it sucked. And it's not a feeling of rejection that you want to experience again. So we build up these walls.
We do. We build up walls. That sucks, though, doesn't it?
It sucks to, like, know that I would be doing stuff differently if I, like, wasn't so, not so insecure, but, like, if I wasn't insecure at all, I guess, and, like, didn't at all care what people think.
It's kind of an interesting question, because it's not the same as what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Like, that's a different question. Like, this is just like, what is it that, like, if you weren't afraid to fail, like, you might fail still, but if you weren't scared of that, what would you do? That's interesting.
Yeah, like, when you hear about stuff and you're like, oh, that would be so cool to do, but, and like, you kind of push it to the side. But it's like, well, what if you weren't scared to even try it? Like, would you do it if you weren't scared? I don't know. not to harp on it, but think about it.
A good little journaling prompt for the week.
Yeah. Do you want to do our roadside attraction?
I would love to do our roadside attraction, which is a completely sort of shifting. No, you know what? Actually, it's not shifting gears that much. Because wait, what she lived do? This. She lived that day. She was not scared. So our roadside attraction, if you look to your left, it's the world's largest pile of discarded oysters. I don't know if you guys saw this because obviously social media has been kind of upsetting lately. And by the way, take care of yourself and make sure you are reading information that is correct. Obviously, with Israel and Gaza, just we're keeping everybody in our hearts. We hope no more innocents are killed. But yeah, just I hope you're not having too hard of a time because social media has been really rough with that. But there was a girl who went on a date in Louisiana, I want to say.
Atlanta.
Oh, what was it? It was Atlanta? I couldn't remember which one it was.
Because I had to watch this video today due to the fact that I hadn't seen it and you had mentioned something about it. So I have the recent details.
Yes, so she was on this date and apparently she ate 48 oysters and then was like, now what? So what are we having for an entree? And the guy left. He was like, I'm done. I'm out.
He went to the bathroom and never came back. But it's so funny because he only ordered one drink. And she was like, and he left me to pay for his one drink. And then he sent her a text later that was like, I can pay for I can cash up you for my drink.
48 oysters. That is so many oysters. What would you do if you were not afraid? Maybe eat 48 oysters. She was not afraid.
On a date.
On a date. My question for you is, at what point in that date would it be too many oysters? How many oysters for you would be too many oysters? Yeah.
Yeah, because at some point for everybody, it has to be too many oysters.
Actually, I'll posit this. I think at some point, it kind of turns into a horseshoe, sort of a bell curve situation where it's horrifying and then it's kind of impressive. And then it's like, whoa, you just set the world record for oyster eating. That's cool. You know,
yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually so true because, but then it's like, but if you're paying for it, then maybe not.
If you're paying
maybe
for it.
Maybe it doesn't horseshoe if you're paying for it.
Right. And to be fair, I don't like oysters. And I think that they're disgusting.
I don't either.
Yeah. And I don't want to watch somebody slurp them down.
I have no idea how many oysters is normal. I have no concept of that because I've never ordered oysters, had oysters, enjoyed oysters. I know for mussels, it's a large platter of them. I do like mussels. But I know that it was very expensive. And I know that he asked if she wanted to get drinks. And that was sort of the expectation. It wasn't... Yeah. You know, preferenced as 48 oysters and then an entree kind of night.
Also, can I just say, Atlanta is inland, is it not? Where's the closest place that you get oysters from in Atlanta? The Atlantic Ocean?
Whoa.
Because I don't know that I want to eat inland oysters at all, let alone 48 of them. They had to have been sitting on ice for a while.
Atlanta's in Georgia, correct?
Yes. Oh, I suppose there's a coast, right?
Shout out to one of our birthday pigs, Georgia.
Georgia. Wait. Shout out, Georgia.
Yeah. Birthday pigs. I was like, is that what it is? Yeah, it is. It's been so long, you guys. It's been 2 weeks. That's a long time. I'm forgetting all of our lore.
Do we have any final thoughts about oysters?
About the oysters. I just love the way that she told the whole story and really didn't try to change the details to make herself look better, but still was kind of unaware of the fact that she was being a little bit silly. You know, all of my support to that woman, because was she wrong? Yes. But was she wild and free? She was.
And maybe all of us should be more like her, you know? Maybe more of us should be unafraid to suck down life in the way that she sucked down those oysters.
Should we call this episode Sucking Down the Oysters of Life?
Yes. You know how people say, like, the world is your oyster? Okay, suck it.
The world is your oyster and you are its pearl.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a traffic report, queen?
I would love to do a traffic report, queen. Oh, my God. Okay, so we have a cleaning lady that comes, like, every 2 weeks. She's a queen. She's a star. We love her. And she cleaned my office and she had stacked my tarot cards in like an interesting formation. And I was like, huh, I wonder what's going on here. And it was like she made three little piles. And so I flipped them over because I was curious. And it was.
Is she a tarot queen?
I don't know. It was the Wheel of Fortune, the Queen of Wands, and something else. I think this. Sorry, the Queen of Wands and the Six of Wands. And I was like, I wonder if that's like a reading for me that I should be paying attention to.
I think it is.
You think so? I think she did that on purpose. And she said, you need this message, girl.
You know in shows when like a mystical being enters the body of like a blue collar worker and they tell you a little secret?
Yeah, I love that trope.
I feel like that happens a lot. Like 17 Again. There was one with the spirit of Santa Claus. This is a thing. Okay, I swear to God it's a thing.
No, it is. It is. Anyways, I'll figure out what that was. My reading from Bertha later. Anyways, what's our traffic report? What's the traffic, you know, report today? Okay, it's not looking great, but today's card is the Nine of Swords, which looks a bit intense. Yeah. To be fair, I'll say this. I'm having a real bad October and also like a good one, but also terrible, you know? Like there's just a lot going on. And this card means nightmares, intrusive thoughts, and mental confusion.
That's so me right now. That's so me.
If you're struggling with some anxiety, just like it'll pass, but be aware of that and know that the universe knows that you're anxious and hopefully it'll just pass because nothing lasts forever, good or bad. So eventually it'll get better, even if right now it's like a terrifying, scary monster mess, which kind of is.
That's so crazy because we did talk about that in our last episode where we're sort of in nightmare eras. Nightmare vibes. We send you all the support and like Ellie said, not every month can be a good month. It just doesn't make sense. It's not possible. You gotta sit and suffer sometimes or be neutral or just not doing that much.
You got to take the bad with the good, you know?
But we love you guys. So, anyways, and we would like to shout out our birthday pigs, Nathan, Curtis, Maya, Katie, Georgia, and Flower Pig. It's been a while since we've said your names. Does it feel like a long time for you guys or just for us? I'm curious.
I wonder if it does because I was going to say it's been 100 years, but
it's literally been 100 years. We will be doing some bonus episodes on our Patreon, hopefully one each of the next weeks at patreon.com/latenightdrivepod. And if you guys have any topics that you would really like to hear from us, please let us know. The best way to contact us or get your questions on the episode is on the Instagram, Late Night Drive Pod.
And yeah, we love you guys so, so, so much. I hope your October is better than ours. And if you are also having a miserable, a no good, very bad, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad October, I hope it gets better for you as well. And I love you guys so, 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 so much. I hope you have a good day and have a good night. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope it's a great one. We will catch you on our very next drive.
Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive. We hope you enjoy the drive.
Ooh. I liked that. Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/LND.